KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have cloudy skies. It's 34 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy today, a high near 60. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Lindeman Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. In area news, the Cass County Board of Supervisors will receive three quarterly reports during their meeting this morning at 8:30 at the courthouse here in Atlantic. Reports are scheduled to be presented by County Conservation Director Micah Lee, County VA Director Mitch Holmes, and Weed Commissioner Dennis Vogel. The board will also receive regular reports from the county attorney, engineer, and mental health general relief coordinators, and they'll act on two resolutions to assign county-held tax sale certificates to the city of Atlantic and enter into an agreement to abate the taxes on the two parcels if the city of Atlantic acquires ownership of them. Officials have upgraded charges against a Shelby County man after a second person died following a collision on Nebraska Highway 36 a couple of weeks ago. 28-year-old Tony Kankel of Erling is now charged with two counts of motor vehicle homicide. Kankel waived his preliminary hearing and will stand trial in the case. Authorities have said Kankel had a blood alcohol level of 0.091 at the scene of the collision near Lake Cunningham Park Road in Nebraska. 2.5 hours later, his blood alcohol level tested at 0.08, which is the legal limit. Kankel had been driving a 2017 Chevy Silverado eastbound on Highway 36 when the pickup crossed the center line and entered westbound traffic. He struck a 1995 Mitsubishi 3000 GT head-on, killing the driver, 21-year-old Joseph Daniels of Council Bluffs. 21-year-old Thomas Grease, a passenger, had been in a medically induced coma until he was taken off life support on Monday. Kankel has no prior criminal record other than speeding tickets. He's part of the 24/7 sobriety program that requires check-ins in Omaha twice a day, and Kankel does that by commuting an hour each way from Erling. Two Shelby County men have been charged with drug delivery. 38-year-old Matthew Tams of Harlan was charged with possession of a controlled substance with the intent to deliver and prohibited acts. He's accused of having meth, a scale, and baggies during a traffic stop back on October 8th. A December 11th trial date has been set for Tams, and if found guilty, he could face a sentence of 12 years in jail and fines amounting to $12,500. 22-year-old Alexander Lamar of Harlan has been accused of having methamphetamine with a scale and packaging after a traffic stop in Harlan, also on October 8th. Lamar was charged with possession of a controlled substance with the intent to deliver, possession of a controlled substance marijuana, third offense, and possession of stolen property. He's also accused of having marijuana in his possession, as well as two stolen TVs removed from his bedroom at his address on October the 8th. Lamar also has a December 11th trial date, and if found guilty, he faces up to 14 years in jail and fines amounting to $15,000. The Harlan Police Department yesterday said there were two recent arrests. On Friday, 36-year-old Kara DeLynn Bomer of Harlan was arrested following a call for service in the 1300 block of Victoria Street. Bomer was transported to the Shelby County Jail and charged with domestic abuse assault. On Saturday, 24-year-old Jonathan Lee J. Behrens of Harlan was arrested following a short pursuit. Behrens was transported to the Shelby County Jail, where he was charged with eluding, possession of a stolen property, driving while barred, and reckless driving. And 62-year-old Gary Lynn McCoy of Harlan was cited Saturday for trespassing in the 400 block of Durant Street. The Harlan Community School District Board of Education voted last week to request a special election on December 11th for a referendum on a $28.5 million bond issue proposal and other school measures. All five members present voted in favor. The bond issue proposal is to issue a general obligation bond to finance the renovations and updates of the district's four school buildings. It would mean a property tax increase of $13.75 per month for the owner of a $100,000 home, for example, and $3.97 a year per acre of agricultural land. The bond issue is one of four items district residents will have to be asked to vote on during the election. The other three are increasing the school levy from $325 to $405 per $1,000 of taxable valuation, renewing the instructional support levy, which expires in 2022 for an additional 10 years, renewing the physical plant and equipment levy for another 10 years. So far, the district has kept taxes reasonable with one of the lowest school levies in the state. Three main areas of the bond issue project would be updating security at all four Harlan schools, updating or replacing the HVAC or heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, plumbing, electrical, and technology systems, and creating educational spaces for 21st century learning. Secure entrances would be created at all school district buildings in the district, and all visitors would be screened by a receptionist or other staff member before they are admitted. The biggest share of the work would be complete renovation of the high school in Harlan and intermediate school facilities, the district's oldest school buildings, which date from 1970 and 1965, respectively. Those two schools contain 55% of the square footage of the district's facilities. The middle school was built in the 1980s and the primary school was new in 2010. High school work would include renovation of all classrooms, the auditorium, fine arts area, science lab, and career and tech education areas. The intermediate school in Harlan, which serves students in third through fifth grades, would get a small addition where classes displaced by the project could meet. That would then become an area for hands-on learning. Existing spaces in the intermediate school would be renovated, and classrooms in both buildings would be arranged to facilitate 21st century learning. In our funeral announcements, Lil B. Huey, age 90, of Audubon, died Friday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Lil Huey will be today at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon, with Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon in charge of arrangements. Shirley Ann Hoffman, age 81, of Oakland, died October 30th at the Oakland Manor Nursing Home. Services for Shirley Ann Hoffman will be held Friday at 10:30 at the United Church of Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Lulu Fanny Lockery, age 79, of Guthrie Center, died Monday. Funeral services for Lulu Lockery will be on Friday at 10:30 at the Bowman United Methodist Church in rural Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Helen Fogelsong, age 94, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Memorial services for Helen Fogelsong will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center has arrangements. Leola Porter, age 101, of Atlantic, died Saturday. Memorial services for Leola Porter will be this Saturday at 10:30 at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Reba Vanderhart, age 84, of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Reba Vanderhart will be this Saturday at 11 o'clock at Roland Funeral Home. And Roxanne Martin, age 62, of Harlan, died Sunday. A memorial service for Roxanne Martin will be this Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. The news was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.